EW.
Over the last decade, U.S.-born Rob Greenfield has undergone a transformation. As he says, from a drunk dude to a dude making a difference. Step by step, he swapped his car for a bike, lived off the grid in a tiny house made from recycled materials, downsized to a minimum of possessions, and uses money only when necessary. Most recently, he's been foraging and growing his own food. DW reporter Jennifer Collins caught up with Greenfield in a community garden in Berlin. She started off by asking him how such drastic changes came about.
About 10 years ago, I was living a pretty typical American lifestyle. My goal was to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. I was very focused on financial wealth, on material possessions, on, you know, just impressing other people and living the American dream. And then in 2011, I woke up, I realized that almost everything that I was doing was destroying the world. And I woke up to the fact that my American dream was the world's nightmare. And so I realized I wanted to drastically transform my life to live in a way where my actions could be in alignment with my beliefs and I could feel good about life.
So you live off the grid and you've lived in a tiny house. Like, what does that actually mean day to day?
For me, I aim for sustainable living by living simply. So when I lived in a tiny house, for example, I couldn't afford a huge solar panel system or an electric vehicle. So what I did is I just simplified my needs. The less electricity that I needed meant the smaller solar panels that I would need. And my solar panels only cost $1,000. That's what allowed me to live off the grid and sustainably when I lived in the tiny house in San Diego. And when I lived in Orlando in the tiny house and I was growing and foraging all my food, I actually had an extension cord that went to my house because now that I had a deep chest freezer to be able to store lots of food, I did find it, interestingly enough, to be a little bit more challenging. It's hard to do it all. And that's one reason that I empathize with people. And I never judge people because you can look at one person and see what they're not doing, but not think about what they are doing.
So what were some of the things you changed?
Well, when I started, I was just going to Walmart and buying all my cheap groceries and, you know, cheap material goods there. So for me, early changes, some of them were small, like, you know, carrying a reusable shopping bag or a reusable water bottle, just the basics. And then there was bigger things like trying to drive my car a lot less and ride my bike more, starting to support local farmers and go to the local farmers market rather than the big box stores and local businesses in general. And then I took it, you know, further and decided to get rid of my car completely and only ride a bike or use public transportation or, you know, completely avoid the big box stores. And so I started, you know, as kind of small things and let those transform into bigger and bigger things.
One of the last big things you did was, you know, you foraged food for a year. How does that work? And I mean, were you able to sustain that?
For 1 year, I grew and foraged 100% of my food. No grocery stores or restaurants, nothing packaged or processed, nothing shipped long distances. But I didn't go live in a farm. I didn't go live in the woods. Instead, I built a little 10 feet by 10 foot tiny house in a backyard in Orlando so I could be immersed in society. And I had my front yard gardens. And the idea was that people would walk past these gardens and see it and see that, wow, you can have an abundant garden full of food rather than a lawn of grass. The year was really hard. I mean, it was one of the most challenging things I've ever done. But it was also just beyond rewarding. Over the year, I grew and foraged 300 different species of foods, and it was a lot of time spent, but it was time well spent. It was just a high quality of life, just being immersed in existence.
So, I mean, when you do these kinds of projects, what is it that you take from them into your life then, because you're doing something else now?
Yeah, well, like right now, for example, I just spotted some dandelion greens. So I can forage those, I can eat those, and that's some great food straight from the land that other people walk past and they see as a weed. The idea isn't for any of us to grow and forage all of our food. It's about working together as communities to create food sovereignty and take power back from big agriculture. And so for me, that means going to community gardens and volunteering. It means supporting local farmers where I'm traveling. Yesterday, going to the local farmers market and buying local bread and local cheese, for example.
And have you met many people who've come back to you have been kind of inspired by what you've done and made changes in their own lives?
The only reason that I'm still doing this 10 years later is because of the amount of positive feedback that I get. I mean, today I get positive feedback from the absolute most basic things like, I'm 50 years old, I saw your video of you wearing trash in New York City, and instantly I started to not use disposable paper towels and I'm using reusables, and I got a reusable water bottle for the first time and I started recycling. Like, small things like that, which I hear all the time, to bigger things like, you know, I quit my corporate job and now work with a nonprofit, have removed myself as much as I can from these systems that I don't support and have drastically changed my life.
You mentioned that wearing trash there, that was the project where you consumed what the average American consumes in a month?
Yeah, so for 1 month I lived in New York City and I lived like the average American. So I set aside my ethics and my morals for that month and instead I ate, shopped, and consumed like the average American does. But the catch was I had to wear every piece of trash that I created. And the average person in the United States creates about 4.5 pounds or 2 kilos of trash per day. Here in Western Europe, it's less, but it's similar to that. And so every piece of trash that I created, I put on my body. I had a special suit that was designed to hold it with clear plastic pockets. And by the end of the month, I was wearing about 90 pounds of trash or about 45 kilos. People would walk up to me on the streets of New York City. They would ask me what I'm doing. I would simply say, I'm living like the average American for a month and wearing my trash. You could see in their eyes what they saw was, oh, you are me. You are a reflection of what my life looks like. So I didn't have to tell anybody what's right or wrong. They got to decide that for themselves. They saw this is what it looks like if you have to hold on to that trash for a month.
You're on the World Solutions Tour, is that right? What is that exactly? And then, yeah, what is it you want to bring?
So for this year, I'm traveling for a year, speaking in about 30 countries around the world. And I call it the World Solutions Tour because the focus is solutions. It's about individual action. It's about community actions that people can do wherever they are in the world, where they don't need to wait on corporations or government to start making a positive impact in their community now. I think that, you know, our solutions do lie in community and working together.
How important are these kind of individual actions and making these changes in a society that's basically a fossil fuel system?
I think these individual changes are both deeply and truly important and at the same time completely meaningless. If one person makes these small changes, but we're still part of this completely fossil-fueled power society, then the changes aren't enough to make enough of a difference in the big picture. I'm not trying to save the world. My strategy is do things that improve quality of life now while contributing to the bigger picture. And in that way, if humanity fails, well, the work wasn't a failure at all because it improved quality of life now. DW.